It is an old test. When an organisation is making grand plans and is promising transformative results, you should look at how they are doing on the detail if you want to know whether the whole thing is going to work. Years ago, I met an American entrepreneur who had, as so many do, written a book about what he thought were the secrets of his success. Unlike many such books, it struck me as being rather useful. And one of his messages was very simple. When it came to recruiting staff, he only insisted on interviewing one category. And it wasn't potential finance directors or similarly senior people. It was the receptionists. And his argument was equally simple. Unlike anyone else in the organisation, these were the people that outsiders, people who didn't know the company, would meet when they came through the door. The first impressions, he argued, were extremely important. In other words, the success was in the detail. And if we apply this idea to the latest plans from HMRC, the UK's tax authority, we might come to a dispiriting conclusion. In January, the House of Commons Public Accounts Committee, after an exhaustive series of hearings and evidence gathering, produced its annual report on HMRC's performance. HMRC is currently involved in much extra work thanks to the leak of what are known as the Paradise Papers, a huge tranche of tax papers which may or may not be knee-deep in tax avoidance. Somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 staff, it transpires, are involved in its risk and intelligence service which attracts such stuff down. But at the same time, HMRC is involved in 15 of what it calls transformation programmes. It is introducing digital services, reorganising its staff and offices, and taking on all manner of change. The Public Accounts Committee took a dim view. Its chair, the MP Meg Hillier, concluded that HMRC's transformation programme would have been less risky had it not attempted to do everything at the same time. And then said that what was already a precarious high wire act is now being battered by the winds of Brexit, with potentially catastrophic consequences. That is the broader picture. But as I said, you can assess the chances of all this being achieved by looking at the detail. So let us look at a simple but frequently cited test, the time it takes HMRC to answer the phone when a taxpayer rings up for advice. The report has a broad answer. HMRC's customer service has improved on the appalling levels of recent years, but its claims about call answering times don't stack up. It has all been, to put it politely, fudged. And that fudge doesn't augur well for the chances of the bigger picture stuff, the transformational programmes, the measures for detecting tax evasion, the reorganising of property and offices, working well, or at all. The average time it takes to answer a caller, HMRC says, has come down from around 12 minutes in 2015-16 to under 4 minutes in 2016-2017. Pause for applause. But the explanation that the Public Accounts Committee produces suggests subterfuge rather than solutions. The timing doesn't include the fact that typically customers spend an additional 2 to 4 minutes listening to automated messages before entering a queue for an advisor. And nor does it take into account that HMRC counts most calls terminated in its automated telephony system as successfully handled. This is not the conclusion you or I would come to, and nor did the committee. It suggested that, in many cases, the customer certainly hangs up because they're having difficulty navigating through the automated message system and are frustrated by how long this is taking. All this obfuscation, or downright deliberate misleading, doesn't suggest that the grander stuff of the HMRC plans will work. In the detail, you find the truth.